World Football at AFCON
with John Bennett.
Great to have you with us. Welcome to the show. And day four at the Africa Cup of Nations was all about Namibia. They finally have their first ever win in their history of playing at the tournament. And it wasn't just any victory. It was a huge upset, beating the 2004 champions Tunisia, one of the five African teams who'd qualified for the last World Cup. We'll talk about their amazing achievement shortly. We'll discuss Mali's win over South Africa, despite a really poor first half performance, actually. We'll assess Burkina Faso's start to AFCON as they beat Mauritania. Plus, we'll also look ahead to day five when Morocco, Tanzania, Zambia and DR Congo are getting their AFCON campaigns underway. And as luck would have it, former DRC captain Gabriel Zakuani is with me. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, John.
Stand by for some DR Congo chat. You're playing against Zambia, but just to warn you, it's the Zambia fans today who have been sending us the voice notes. So you're not going to have it all your own way. There's going to be no DR Congo bias today.
There might be from me.
Let's get straight to the big story of day four. Dion Hotto with an 88th minute header, giving Namibia, ranked 115th in the world, a 1-0 victory over Tunisia. Namibia had never won any of their previous nine AFCON matches. 2004 champions Tunisia, 87 places above Namibia in FIFA standings. Gabby, this wasn't a smash and grab, was it? They were superb, superb Namibia in this game.
No, it certainly wasn't. You look at the shots count, the saves they made, the Tunisian keepers make. I mean, it was not a smash and grab by any stretch of the imagination. Yes, Lloyd Kazapur for Namibia in goal had an excellent game, but they did not have it their own way. You know, they battled, they went head to head with Tunisia and they deserved the win. I think in the end, they actually did deserve it. It was no smash and grab, as you just said.
And this win is so impressive because they've had some really turbulent years, Namibia, in their domestic game. So listen to this, Gabby. No active football in the country for 3 years. They weren't able to play their matches at home either. Football basically came to a halt in the country in 2019 because there's been a dispute between the Football Association and the Premier League in the country. Finally made its return in 2022. But the lack of football had left players unfit. So an amazing job by the manager, Colin Benjamin. And that just shows you that this is even more impressive than it looks on paper.
Yeah, I would say I would agree with that. You know, I've known of the troubles they've had. And it probably makes it a lot more impressive. But Jory, probably in that time, they probably pulled together and come with this plan and this built that togetherness. And you can see on the pitch, they were flying in front of the goals to make the blocks. And togetherness has probably shown because of what they've gone through as a country.
What I think is that the outsiders are gaining confidence because of what is happening in this tournament. So Mozambique nearly beating Egypt, Equatorial Guinea drawing against Nigeria, Cap Verde beating Ghana, Angola holding Algeria to a draw. I don't think there's any fear anymore. The so-called unfancied teams, smaller teams, they're not afraid at all of the so-called bigger teams. We're going to get more shocks, I think.
No, we are. I think in the first podcast we did, I did say I think the African nations has always been known to be cagey, but I think teams are playing with less fear now. You know, they're going for wins and it's becoming difficult. You're seeing teams, Mohamed Salah have to score in the last minute to snatch something from a game, and that's not something we expected, you know. So, like I said, the Namibia victory was no shock on the day. If you watch the game and you analyse the game, you wouldn't say they smashed and grabbed the game. They deserve to win that game by pure going head-to-head with a giant like Tunisia.
So the Namibia coach, Colin Benjamin, he said, this is a massive achievement for us. Nobody gave us a chance. This is a country that really needs a lift. And I love this from the Tunisia boss, Jalel Kadri, because he's saying what every manager now has been able to say since the last World Cup. This is what he had to say. Argentina lost its first World Cup match against Saudi Arabia, but they ultimately won the title. So he's basically saying, it's no problem, we're going to go on and win. They won't go on and win if they play like that. I thought they were really poor, Tunisia. They always seem to get the job done at AFCON. Mm. So they seem to get to quarterfinals. But I think it's three of the last four editions they've made it to quarterfinals. But they were really poor. They were really poor.
They were, and I think a comparison to Argentina's, it's a big call, you know. I think you can't, as Tunisia, what I know Tunisia to be is just well organised and getting the job done, just getting whatever they need to do to get that victory. But today, as you said, they were poor. They were outplayed. They were outbattled, outran. In every department, I thought Namibia was superior. And yes, Tunisia will always create chances. But you can't look on paper today and say that they deserved anything from them, or anything telling you that they will do well in this tournament. I'm not too sure. But let me just go back to Namibia quickly. I feel that Namibia, even that draw now, you look at the format, the way the format is four third places. So they've got to have an eye now on getting through the group, you know, getting another result. And they'll be favourites to get through now if they just can sneak another result.
A win in your first game, it has to put you in an absolutely fantastic position. Let's move on to Mali against South Africa. So 2-0 to Mali. South Africa, excellent in the first half. My tips to be dark horse in the tournament. They were playing really well. I was loving it. They won a penalty. Percy Tau steps up. Percy, you're going to score this, and my prediction's going to be right. He skies his penalty. They wasted their chances. Second half, Mali improve. They played really well. They scored after a free kick hit the bar, bounced back to Hamari Traore. And then Lassine Sinayoko made it 2-0. And my curse strikes again, Gabby, my dark horse curse.
Yeah, it does. I mean, South Africa looked good. You know, they looked like a team that know each other. In the first half, everything was seamless. They were playing really well, good football. But I always have something about South Africa. They seem to just not enough bottle to just see games through and get the right results. Mali have been tipped by a few people. You know, they've got a good side. And what gives me promise for Mali and why I think they'll do well is because they took off Eva Bazuma and then still got the goals, you know. That's their main player, you would say, on paper.
Yeah, he only lasted 58 minutes. He came off after an hour. Yeah,
exactly. So the goals came after he went off. So they've got strength in depth. That tells you, you know, they can handle it without their stars, you know. So I'm really seeing Mali now as a team that could progress and cause a few problems.
Yeah, they did really well to turn it around. I think South Africa, though, will be so disappointed. The chances they had in the first half, I was really impressed. You have to take your chances, though, at this level. And you could see Hugo Broos, the manager, was so frustrated at the end. The first game of day four was in Group D. It was Algeria's group. Another late win. This time, no shock, though. Aston Villa's Bertrand Traore scoring a 96th-minute penalty. Burkina Faso beat Mauritania. So it was Nuer Mohamed El Abt who fouled Issa Kabore in the penalty area. Gabby, the ref didn't give it. The VAR asked him to go over to the screen and he changed his mind. It took ages to make the decision, but it looked like a clear penalty to me. Yeah, do you agree? Do you have any doubts about it? Why did it take so long?
No. It's a clear-cut penalty for me. I think in this... just the pressure of the actual tournament probably got to the ref. You know, he wanted to make sure and he didn't want to give something he wasn't sure about at the time. I don't know why, because to me it looked like a clear penalty. And even that game, you know, you'd fancy Burkina Faso to win this game quite comfortably. You would. But it took a penalty in a 96th minute to separate the two teams. Again, I think we keep going back and saying the same thing. I think there really isn't any small team in Africa now. Everyone is competitive.
Yeah, they need Bertrand Traore fit, I think, Burkina Faso. Mm. He made a difference, didn't he, when he came on? He's had a tough season at Aston Villa. He's been injured, so he could only start on the bench. But when he came on, you could see that he's still their X-factor player. He's still their flair player.
Yeah, I mean, most teams in the competition at the moment, I think the difference is the little bit of quality. You know, I watched many games so far already. I looked at, you go back to the Ivory Coast, we picked out Fofana. He just looked like the difference in that game, because it was a difficult game for him at the time. You know, they got the early goal, but then there wasn't so much in it. But when you have a star player in there who's shining and doing the little extras, the little bit of quality that you need in that final third especially, that's the difference. And that's what Bertrand Traore is going to be for Burkina Faso.
Okay, time for you to get nervous, Gabby. You're far too comfortable on this show today. We're moving on to the action on day five. The late game is DR Congo against Zambia. And before you have your say, Gabby, let's hear from the Zambia fans. They've been getting in touch with us. Remember, throughout the tournament, we're giving you the chance to have your say on world football at AFCON. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note. Tell us your name, where you're from, and your comment. The number is +44 800 032 0470. That's +44 800 032 0470.
Zambian fan here from Zambia. The boys are ready and they're capable. Strike Force is one thing to watch for. A very good number six in Kelvin Kapumbu. And once he plays, Zambia will just have a good game. Zambia is capable. Just looking forward to the match. It will be exciting.
Hello, BBC Sport. This is Jeremiah from Zambia. We have one of the most exciting young attacking teams with Patson Taka, Fashion Sakala, as well as the young Banda right in front. His experience in Italy will surely be there for everybody to see. And I'm sure he'll be able to serve some pizza to the Congolese defense there. Go Zambia, go Coach Polo Polo. Zambia 3, Congo 1. Thank you.
This is Lamek Banda, who plays for Lecce. That's the Zambia player who apparently is going to serve your Dior Congo boys pizza, Gabby. Thoughts on that?
No, I think I'm going to get on the phone to Chantel Mbemba first thing in the morning and just play that voice note, you know? I don't think you need a team talk after that. But me, I'm confident. I'm personally very confident about the game because I spoke to the manager earlier on. I've spoken to Chancel. The boys seem together. And the feedback we're getting from the camp, I know everyone says the same thing. The preparation's been great, but there's been no hiccup. Usually with us, the DR Congo, there is something lurking in the background, some sort of negativity. But the boys seem together. There's no talk of any negativity. And I just feel like this is our time to really replicate the sort of tournament we had in 2015. Chancel Mbemba has been in absolute brilliant form. And I expect him to have Banda in his pocket tomorrow.
So DR Congo failed to qualify for the last AFCON, didn't they? After a run when you'd made it out of the groups for three AFCONs in a row, with you in the team walking past me in interview rooms when I was there for the BBC. What were the expectations then for DR Congo? What do fans think about how far they can go? Is there a lot of pressure on them?
No, John, it's a strange one because before they qualified for the actual tournament, there was no pressure. It was just, if we get there, that's a bonus, you know, because we started off so poorly in the qualifying stages. But now we're actually there and we actually have some good players. You know, we've got Bakambu up front, Galatasaray. We have Wissa, who scores goals for Brentford and is a threat in the Premiership, you know. So there's really no time to go there to make up the numbers. We need to at least get out the group and see how far we go. I think the fans will be happy with a quarterfinal. I think quarterfinal and anything beyond that would be seen as a success.
And Morocco also getting their campaign underway. I can't wait to see them. I absolutely love watching them at the World Cup. And I think they're going to have a great tournament. People say the conditions might not suit them. But yeah, having been to Morocco, spent time with the manager, spent time with the team, there is pressure on them because there's pressure from back home, but pressure from around the world because people have high expectations after the World Cup. But you have to think that there'll be a big success at this AFCON.
Yes, they are my tip to win it. But for me, I think it's a different sort of challenge this time. You know, at the World Cup, they're probably not fancied to do too well. They went on beyond our expectations. But now we're waiting for Morocco, you know, to do something. And they probably, the playing on the counter-attack on the back foot was probably an advantage for them to play on the back. Now they can't play on the back foot because the fans expect them to be the more dominant team. So it'll be interesting to see how the tactics change for the African Cup of Nations. But I do expect them to have enough. The manager has everything, you know, in his locker to get the results. He's shown that he can compete with the best in the world. And now I think they need to do it on, you know, on African soil and prove that they are the best team in Africa.
And one other bit of news from AFCON, one of the stars of the tournament, Mohamed Kudus, back in full team training ahead of the crucial game against Egypt on Thursday. So Ghana lost their opener to Cap Verde. He didn't play. They really need him back, don't they? They, Gabby, we're heading towards the end of the show, but just in a few words, how important Mohamed Kudus for Ghana?
Oh, he is literally everything for them at the moment. You know, they need every bit of quality that they can get into the side. They were shocking in the first game and we weren't expecting too much from them, but we expected them to win the game. But with him, with that extra quality, it's exactly what they need. And I know they've been pushing him to really, really get back as quick as possible. It's because of a hamstring injury and he needs to get back in the team.
Gabby, thank you very much. You'll be back with me after day 5. Speak then. I wonder how DR Congo will have done in their opening game. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you want more African football, by the way, more Gabby as well, search for Match of the Day Africa Top 10 on the BBC World Service website or BBC Sounds. And join us again next time on BBC World Football at AFCON. Goodbye.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.